This is KUOW. I'm Kim Malcolm. Very few humans get a chance to ride a rocket into space, much less visit the International Space Station. NASA says just 280 people have ever done that. And Dottie Metcalf-Lindenberger is one of them.
This vehicle is about to go 17,000 miles per hour. Enjoy your ride.
Three engines up and ready. Three, two, one, zero. Booster ignition.
The former Earth sciences and astronomy teacher turned astronaut lives in Lake Forest Park now, and she's doing her best to interest kids who may have never thought they could go to space in science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, the STEM fields. On Saturday, she'll be at the Museum of Flight to talk about her experiences as an educator mission specialist, and she joins me now for a preview. Dottie, thank you so much for joining us here at KUOW.
Thank you so much for having me today.
So, Dottie, tell me the story. How does a high school earth sciences teacher get to the International Space Station? I mean, how did that journey even start?
So I had always wanted to go to space since I was in middle school, but I had some different twists and turns coming out of my undergraduate at Whitman in geology and ended up in one of the twists being a high school science teacher and specifically teaching an astronomy class. And so I had a student ask, how do you go to the bathroom in space?
Of course.
Yeah, it's a great question. It's a very popular question I've also discovered later. And I didn't know what the space shuttle toilet looked like. So I went and looked it up. And in looking up the answer to her question and making sure I took that back to the classroom, I also found out, because it was the NASA website that, of course, described it, that they were hiring teachers as part of the class of 2004 of incoming astronauts.
Ah, and you thought, maybe.
And I had to apply.
That's so great. So Dottie, you ultimately were accepted. You started the training, all of that, those rigorous process they do to get people ready to go into space. And you ended up logging something like over 360 hours in space. What was the best part?
I like to tell there's three best things. There's looking out the window. Nothing compares to looking back at Earth and the beauty and the colors, and also looking at the multitude of stars. It's just fun to float around. So the kid in all of us loves making those Superwoman or Superman trips down the middle of the vehicle and flipping and just the floating. And then the whole reason we're there is for the mission. And it was so satisfying to be a part of the STS-131 crew and have just a really solid mission accomplishing the majority of our goals.
Wow. So those are some of the best parts of being up in space. How about the worst?
It's pretty hard to have a bad day in space. I mean, the first day is a little rough because as a new astronaut, I did experience some space sickness and threw up. But it's still your first day in space. And the majority of the time, you don't feel bad. It's just occasionally. So I guess that would be the worst, is, you know, no one wants to throw up in space.
Well, I can still hear how much you love it and all the experiences that you love to share with other people. And I, you know, you have this background also as a teacher of earth sciences. And I'm curious what role you see astronaut programs playing as we're trying to deal with changing life here on the planet. I'm thinking of climate change in particular.
Oh, absolutely. So if we think about Earth really as connected, which it is, and not as divided, which is arbitrary by humans, then we actually can do some of the important things. So when we think of it, the Earth as connected in all of its systems, of course, water, atmosphere, and resources, my goal is just to keep that primary in front of people's eyes, from young people who can absolutely act within their communities to the young at heart who are in the places of making policy and acting out policy to help protect those things. So we really are a spaceship Earth. And when we treat Earth like a spaceship, then we take care of the whole crew and not just one part of the crew.
You've now branched into all different kinds of professional activities. You're a consultant, a speaker. So what specifically are you going to talk about this weekend?
Yeah, I'm actually going to talk about the ways that STEM applies to flying in space and how we train astronauts so that kids can see like the actual classes that astronauts go through and the actual STEM work that they do that benefits all of society. So getting a chance to see a little bit of that. It makes it, I hope, for them not seem impossible, but very possible. And so that's my goal, is to leave them with what we're currently doing on the space station, and then what we're getting excited to do as we return to the moon and operate this Artemis program.
When you were in orbit and looking down at Earth, that beautiful picture that you described for us, was there a moment where it really hit home for you?
Yeah, I mean, as a geologist, the moment that I found Crater Lake and could put all of the volcanoes into lineup, that was just super special to me, because then from there, I could find like where I taught in Vancouver, Washington. We go so fast in an orbit. So that same orbit took me over my home of Colorado, where I grew up. And it's just really amazing. It was April. I was really glad that we had some clear days to look down on the Pacific Northwest as well as the United States. But I saw places I've never been to, still haven't been to. And that was truly incredible as well.
Former NASA astronaut Dottie Metcalf-Lindenberger will be at the Museum of Flight in Seattle on Saturday afternoon at 3 for her talk, Launching Your STEM Dreams. Our friendly neighborhood astronaut, Dottie, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much. And I hope it comes over also on Saturday. I'm looking forward to that, too.